want to call the meeting to order of the Utility Financial Oversight Committee. Kathy, could you please do roll call?
Chairperson Engelman? Vice Chairperson Bennett?
Here.
Member Bowling?
Here.
Member Scott?
Here.
Member Spell?
Here.
Quorum is present.
Thank you. So let's see if we have any public comment. We're looking, for those who are watching on television, we're looking at an empty room except for someone from the Nevada Appeal. So we have no public comment. So now, did everybody get a chance to read the minutes?
Yes.
Any corrections or amendments to the minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Madam Chair, I move we approve the minutes.
Member Bennett?
Second.
Second. And Rand.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We turn it over to Dan Yu. Excuse me, for the election of the...
For the election, public hearing item 5A. You know, I'm actually just going to go ahead and turn this over to David as staff liaison. And, you know, it's typical for this time of year to hold annual elections for the new chair and vice chair. And I'll just allow David to make any remarks that he'd like to in reference to those VCC policies and procedures, and I'll leave it at that.
David Bruchetta, for the record. So this is just the annual basis of the policy for the boards, committee, and commissions. We have annual elections for chair and vice chair. And so we did this last year, and we're to do it again this year. So, Dan, if you want to maybe go through that process, I'm not sure exactly what I would need to do.
Well, so just to remind everyone here on the committee what the BCC policies and procedures suggestion is. So that's a strong preference by the city as an adopted policy and procedure that a chairman serve for no more than two consecutive years. That's not an absolute requirement. That is just a strong suggestion as a policy of the city. That's to give everyone an opportunity to serve as chair of the committee. So we would be seeking new nominations today for a new chair and a new vice chair. That will be at the discretion of the nominating committee members today. Pretty simple procedure. You just make the motion and then a second, and then you take a vote on it, just like with any other motion.
Madam Chair, with having heard what Mr. Yu just said and thinking about this committee meeting only a minor number of times in a year, I would like to nominate our current chair, Andy Engelman, as chair for 2018.
Madam Chair, I'd like to second that motion.
Chairman forgot to turn on her microphone. So let's take that over again. So we have a first and a second to the motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you.
Okay. On to the next item, manager's report.
Yes.
So please. This one's going to be a little different. In the past, you know, I've had a computer. We did a projection.
Oh. I'm sorry. We forgot to do election for the vice chair. So... are there nominations for the vice chair?
Madam Chair, I'd like to nominate Mike Bennett as vice chair.
Thank you. Is there a second to
second.
That?
Second.
From Randy Bowling. All in favor, say aye.
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 All right. So Mike Bennett is our vice chair. Now, Dave, could we move on with informational items?
Sorry about that. Thank
That's
you.
That's all right. We're out of practice.
So, yeah. So with this normally I have a projection and we go over a couple of things. Obviously come the next meeting where it'll be the heavy budgetary side, we'll have that again. But this is just going to be a verbal update talking about a couple different items. In your packet, we'll start with the capital improvement planning. of the utility funds. In your packet, there's an attachment, and I see there's a typo. It looks like two words were over each other, and that's probably what happened here. But there's an example of the draft capital improvement plan for stormwater. And the idea with this isn't necessarily to go over the description or the various items and what they include, but what this is just a we'll be bringing back the capital plans for each of the funds, the draft capital plans for each of the funds in March, for your approval to recommend to the Board of Supervisors. But it'll look like this, and where this is different is you have your description of the various projects, and then you have the fiscal years, the fiscal year 18, which we're currently in, across the top, the next 5 years, fiscal year 19 to fiscal year 23, with the five-year total. And then there's the amount associated with each one of the projects, and at the very bottom, of course, are the sum for the various fiscal years. The thing that's different about this that we'll bring back, Vice Chair Bennett had suggested this, is adding more of a list to this. So when we do our budgeting, we budget based on a projected revenue available. And so what we've done is added what we called a 20-year column. And that is to show that there's, you know, more items out there than we're currently showing in the budget process. And so this is an example of one that we have done, and that's the stormwater. So in the five-year CIP, which we've historically shown, you know, it would stop down at South Carson Street and the amendments. And you can see there's quite a bit of additional items on the list that would be funded out of future years. And so the idea is not to vote to approve those because we're just looking at the next fiscal year, but it's to show you that there's, you know, outstanding projects that will be done in future years.
Are there any questions? And everything except for the end when we're getting to the part where we look at calendaring future items, future meetings, nothing is for action this time. It's all informational. So, but questions?
Yeah, I have a question. David, on the 2018, we got $5,075,000. And I know later on stormwater update, we're going to talk about the bond. Are you going to discuss this then, or because the bond's for $4.8 million? Are you going to discuss that more in detail, or should I ask you now, where's the residual? Because I'm presuming these are the projects that the $4.87 million bond's going to cover.
This is just the – let me step back. So your question is what we're covering the difference between the bond and what we have, and that would be – part of the plan for the reserves that we have in the fund.
Okay. Randy Bowling.
Dave, just from a procedural standpoint, how are these projects prioritized? Is it a benefit cost? Because I'm sure there's a number of people that might be watching this that have no idea how they're selected.
And that's a great question. We get together with staff and, you know, throughout the year, like, because this is done as part of the approval process, it's, you know, early in the year, and then we get the approval for the budget, and then in July is when the funding happens. So we start this so early in the year, and a lot of times what happens are priorities, different priorities shift and change as they happen throughout the year. So usually we start the budgeting process in October of each year, start planning for the next fiscal year, and they're done just by meeting with direction from, like, Darren, the director, from higher up saying, hey, here are the priority items. We look at what we have on the current list, and then we look at, you know, what activities may have happened to the year. So those are just, like, all internalized from a process to say what are the priorities for the next budgetary year.
So there's no – it's based primarily on the experience, knowledge of staff and the conditions in the field?
Yes, a combination thereof, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Yeah, Bruce?
Dave, if I recall at our last meeting, you had put together a list, and we had some public comment, of priorities, and I assume, or projects, and I assume those are incorporated in what we have here. Is that the case?
Yes, that is the case. I don't remember which line item it is, but I remember that discussion, and it is one of the items that were listed.
Okay. So at this point, because as I recall, staff indicated that was a quick summary of what had been identified as areas of concern, but was not intended to be an exhaustive list of stormwater needs. And I guess I would just note, as we look at this, how few are reached in the first 5 years, and the fact that that only represents a portion, probably, of what's out there.
Yeah, that's correct.
Any other questions? Okay, let's.
If I could.
Yes, certainly.
Just to go back briefly, when staff looks at the prioritization of the projects, beyond staff's knowledge and experience of what's going on out in the field, what type of aspects or elements of the prioritization are they looking at? Is it cost? Is it the degree that deficiency exists? Does that make sense?
Well, I think, it's a combination of things, because there's a lot of needs out there, and a lot of the needs are based on the condition of the asset, the infrastructure itself. The complicating factor is what money's available to be able to fix that asset. And you can see when you look at this, there's some larger items that are sitting out there. So there's items that, you know, when we do our budgeting process, we're well aware that we need to repair, but they're tied into the priority system with the funds that are available. So the amount of money that's available is a consideration as part of that process.
But in terms of the top three that get funded, it would have to do with, you know, we look at safety, you know, how is it affecting public safety? How often is our, you know, our various operation crews out there in a maintenance form? I mean, are we spending a lot of money on maintenance? Are we aware of something, you know, technically wrong with it that is just a matter of time before it fails? So all of those little trigger marks are part of the part that goes in terms of staff meeting, talking about this list that we've generated, and then trying to prioritize them are based off of those things. Then we don't, it's not till later that we actually find out how much money we're going to get, and then that money somewhere makes a cut line for this next year. Okay, then we look at those top projects, and does that make sense for next year in terms of the money, or should one of them be swapped out, or is it too big, does it straddle the line, that sort of thing. But in terms of the priority of the number one project, the number two project, it's based on those, you know, return on investment is also something that we consider when we're doing that. But it really comes down to the life of the asset in terms of needing to be replaced, safety, and then maintenance. What's the maintenance been looking like on this? Is it reached a trigger point?
That's what I was after. Thank you.
Thank you, Darren, for adding to that. I appreciate it. So any other questions on this topic? If not, let's move on.
Okay, the next topic is the Eagle Valley Golf Course. And this is specific to the reclaimed water aspect. But in your packet, I included some of the material. But what happened in October of 2017, there was a request for proposal put out for the operation and maintenance of the golf course. And, of course, that's a site where we, one of our reclaimed application sites. So as part of that, there's an attachment in your packet here called Exhibit 1. And this is the part that was specific to reclaimed water. And what we tried to do with this is we tried to create some of the change would be the separation of responsibility because of a permit. So what happens at the Eagle Valley Golf Course is the operator is issued a permit from the state, a groundwater discharge permit. And so in the past was it's the city's assets. In the city, when there was a repair needed or a problem, the city would go up there, take care of it, and fix it. And there was kind of there needed to be a little clearer separation for the permit side of things. The permit was issued to the operator, and the city went and did the repair work, the majority of it. So one of the changes with this new operation and maintenance of the golf course was that the city's going to be responsible to deliver the reclaimed water up to the holding pond up there at the golf course itself. From that point on, the operator will be responsible for the maintenance and the operations And that helps provide a clear separation for the NDEP permit. So that's going to the first year, you know, Duncan was awarded the contract, and there'll be some training, you know, from the city aspect, and but there'll be a separation. Eventually, they'll take over the maintenance. The capital side still falls on the city, just like it always did. And then we'll continue to work with them and plan for capital improvements, but it'll be the operating. So they're going to take on the operating responsibility, the pump, the equipment, building facilities. And so instead of the city doing it, the operator's going to do it. And that's kind of what's outlined here. The city's responsible for and the operator's responsible for. So it went to an RFP in 2017. In November, the committee got together and they did an evaluation of the various companies that had put in for the RFP. In December, the board awarded it to Duncan Golf. Since then, they've actually taken it over. They're working out a long 5-year agreement right now. That'll be coming to the board here in the near future. Right now, they have a temporary entry and an agreement to go ahead and start the operation of the course, and they're working out the longer-term lease agreement right now. We're in the process of just finishing up, cleaning up some of the property there as a transition. So when the new operator comes in, that we are cleaning up the pump stations, the property, the facilities, just to make everything so it's in a nice clean state prior to the new operator officially coming on board with their lease agreement and being ready to take over the operation side of it. One of the items that will be a change, and you'll see in the budget, will be in our operating budget in wastewater, there was a $75,000 line item. That line item was to support the operational side of the Eagle Valley Golf Course. And so part of this will be they'll take that, because they'll be responsible for the operating side. They're going to cover that cost, and there's needs for capital up there. So the idea, the proposal would be to take that $75,000 and move it over to the capital side. That can help fund some of the capital as we move forward. And then just a quick update on this. One of the capital improvement items, you know, we had just under $500,000 this year approved for capital. And we have our engineer working on that right now, and that's in process. And we should be going out to bid to that fairly soon for that project up there to start doing some of the infrastructure repairs.
Questions? I have some. So, the project that you're doing, $500,000, is for pipes and sprinklers and so forth? What?
Yeah, so the emphasis was on making sure that we start at the beginning of the pump facility at the treatment plant to say we need to make sure there's needs up there, but we need to make sure that we can get the reclaimed water up there. So part of it is repairing some of the air release valves on the distribution system that leads up there. Part of it is working on the storage pond situation up there. And then on the east course, there's a large pump station. And it's doing some of the repair of the filter system, doing everything upstream, and then eventually, you know, the idea is we'll move on to the golf course and on to the east and west golf course. But that's what the $435,000 capital plan was for this year that we're working on. So the engineers have been working hard on that, and that should be going out pretty soon.
Bruce?
Just to follow up, so all the improvements, capital improvements, are on the reclaimed water side? I mean, it's all the effluent, right?
Oh, yeah. I was just making sure. I was just trying to think if there's other ones, but yes.
So I remember there was also something on the budget last year that I questioned about $5 million in a couple of years for a project out there. Is that still in the work?
Well, the 5-year capital improvement plan was about $4.3 million, which was inclusive of this $435,000. So as we bring forward the budget items for the following years, we still do plan on keeping infrastructure repair costs up there. You know, there's a need to rehabilitate, no matter who's maintaining from an operation side, we still have to rehabilitate the equipment up there. But last time, or maybe the time before we talked, a lot of the pumps, we've done a lot of work on rebuilding or replacing the pumps to bring them up to bring them up to speed. And in fact, I just talked to the wastewater supervisors the other day, and all the pumps up there now have been either replaced or rebuilt, he had told me.
And then, if you recall, 5 years ago, I brought up the subject, you know, of people paying for affluent. Is that being discussed at all or thought of?
You know, that's a policy call. I don't know. I don't know where we stand with that. It is in the ordinance. I know that we do have that in the municipal code, but at this point currently, we are charging for, and we have been charging for, the meters. There's two components to the charges in the municipal code. One is usage, and one is the charge for the meters. And we've always charged for the meters. The part that we have not implemented as of yet is the charge for the volume, the usage.
You know that just I'm always looking for ways that to bring in more revenue that without raising rates necessarily, looking for wherever we can find a nickel, you know, to go for it. So, Darren, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Not specifically. David's accurate. We're just, it's not something that's fallen off of our radar, and we're continuing to monitor it and, you know, address it when we can kind of interject it. So that hasn't gone away, and we hope to be discussing it in the next year or so. Again.
Thank you. Dave, you want to move ahead?
Okay. Moving on to the next item. This is just an update on the low-income utility assistance. And in your packet just was included that there was, in September, there was a recommendation by this committee to make an ordinance change. There's currently a Chapter 12 in the municipal code, senior citizens assistance. So that needs to just be revised. We brought that to the October 19th board direction. They directed staff to revise that chapter to provide a low assistance program that doesn't adversely impact the utility funds. And then in November, part of our internal process is that we submit what's called a ODR, an ordinance draft request, and that's done by the district attorney's office. So as part of that, that was submitted. We have Supervisor Bagwell was the one who's the main contact for this, and we have a target March is a target due date with a potential implementation of July of this year, and so that's in process right now.
So, Dan, so I know you're swamped in your office, so I guess do you have any idea when that ordinance might possibly be drafted?
Well, this ordinance is certainly high on my radar of my list of things to do. I don't think that there will be any problem with us completing this for taking it to the board for first and second reading at the due date that's listed, which is sometime in March. I think there's also a real strong possibility that I'll be able to knock this out, you know, well before March. I've given it some thought, and just so the rest of the committee members know, I'm spearheading the efforts on drafting this ordinance. I think what I'll probably wind up doing, without making any sort of a commitment on the record here, is that I'll probably repeal the existing chapter so that I can more easily implement the new provisions that we've all discussed. And as everyone here knows, we've had multiple discussions in the past with regards to the policy and the direction of how we want to implement this. It'll be of greater applicability, would not be only to senior citizens anymore, it would be to other people from low-income households. And so there would be more definitional terms, and the application would be a little bit different, as well as enforcement. So those things are, you know, items that myself and the DA's office, along with staff and Public Works, have all looked at, as well as some of the contributing members, including you as chair, and Lori as one of the supervisors, of course. So we have a pretty good idea of where the universe is. It's just a matter of getting all that transferred on the paper, but I don't anticipate any sort of a problem hitting that implementation date by June or July.
Thank you. Ann, could you hear all of that? You have a soft voice. Bruce?
Dan, just a follow-up. Is it wishful thinking to hope that people could make donations before the ordinance was finalized so that if there was a appetite out there to start contributing, that the city could accept contributions prior to the actual ordinance being finalized?
You know, I think that's a great question. I appreciate that. I think I'd have to tinker around with that idea a little bit more. I think there would be some difficulties in accepting donations for contribution to that sort of a program without any sort of a regulatory framework in place. I mean, certainly what we have right now in the books is what's existing, and I have to double check that to see if there's a mechanism that exists for that, for it to continue. But if we're talking about under the new framework that will be adopted and implemented sometime later this year, I think there would certainly be some challenges to that. I can tell you right off the bat that I would have a lot of discomfort in creating sort of an off-the-cuff program to be implemented when you don't have CCMC provisions that would regulate how that's to be done, including, for example, the acceptance of money that's contributed, the distribution, and then the accounting for all the money that goes into that program. But, you know, it's something that, you know, I'm not saying categorically no right now, but it's something that I'll work with staff on to look further into.
Actually, in the planning that was going on for this, Gail Robertson, our treasurer, was talking to the billing office with staff, and one of the things that would have to happen to contribute to the city, it would have to go to Gail's office, and there would have to be some process set up between the billing and the treasurer's office, and I don't think that's happened yet. So right now, as far as I know, we couldn't contribute to it. Dave, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I think you're correct in that, as far as the anything being set up.
Right. Okay, are there any other questions? I want to point out that in your packet, and thank you, Dave, for preparing this, there's the average utility bill for single-family property where you can look and see what the averages were by month and individually and what the total utility bills are, which I think is a great tool to have. I'd like to see the public see this. So that I think a lot of people would be surprised that there's a lot of people paying higher bills than they're paying. And, you know, when you look at it and you think about people dying of a flu and what poor water could cause, you know, the diseases that come from bad water alone, this is pretty cheap, you know, to have safe water and be healthy. So that's my 2 cents for what it's worth. So any questions or comments? Okay, Dave, shall we go on to stormwater?
Okay, so the next item here is just an update on the stormwater situation, and what we did is in August, we ended up with the board discussing multiple times with the board of supervisors about different funding options to be able to fund some of the projects on the stormwater side. And in August, we got direction to move forward with a $4.875 million bond to provide some funding for the first couple of years, which you saw in the draft plan, but we'll bring forth in March. And so just attached in your packet are the various staff reports to the board, the Utility Oversight Committee. And since then, the rates have been implemented. Went through the process. The rates have been implemented. In your packet shows, you know, what the rates, like from a single family, went from $4.38 to $5.69. And we're anticipating, it started through the bond process, and we're anticipating in April, possibly April of this year, is when the funds would be distributed.
Are there any questions? Do you want to also talk about the rate study, Dave?
The up-and-coming or potential future rate study?
Yes, because that was brought up when the board voted to raise the stormwater rates.
So the idea behind that was when we started just the water and sewer rates, you know, it was done 5 years ago, and the idea was at the end of that 5 years, we would take a look at the projections. Did it end up where we thought it would? So the plan was always from the very beginning to do a follow-up on the water and sewer. And then after discussions with the board, they put a one-time rate increase in place to be able to fund the projects that we're going to be working on. And then they asked to have that included in the process. So we'll be bringing back in about, Darren, roughly a year maybe, bringing back a study looking at the water, sewer, and stormwater now.
Will that be going, will there be an RFP on that for somebody to do the study? How will that be handled?
Yeah, it would be a request for proposal process, yes.
Will this committee be looking at that also? I presume that we'll be looking at some portion of it since it'll be affecting the budget.
Probably not the RFP, but ultimately the selection and what we're doing, we would bring it. Yes, we would bring it here before we bring it to the Board of Supervisors. Is that what you're asking? Yes, absolutely.
Are there other questions, comments? Anything else you want to add to that? Okay, then I guess that we move ahead to setting up. Let's set the dates for the next meetings.
Okay, so just as a comparison, last calendar year, we ended up picking Tuesdays, and we had them scheduled from 1 to 4. Some were longer than others. We had one in January, March, June, and September. So looking forward to this year, one of the key ones we have is the one coming up in March. This is where all the budget information is going to be presented. We have a very, very tight window on this because when everything is due to finance, trying to get the budgets together to where we've added a couple of different steps. One is to have you guys look at the tentative budget, to have public process prior to going to the board. So it leaves us a very narrow window, and ideally in March, it would be either Monday, March 19th or Monday, March 20th, or Tuesday, March 20th. And I don't know if either one of those dates would work for this committee. The room is open on both of those dates. This room, CR room, is open on both of those dates.
We need 4 to 5 hours on that. It's not my first choice either. Committee loves long meetings. But I know that a couple of times we've had to rush through to get to the end and not every question got asked and so forth. So we need, a longer time span. So what times are available?
So looking at the calendar, Monday there would be a meeting at 5:30 p.m. It's booked, 5:30 to 10, and then Tuesday it's open all day.
Madam Chair, my preference would be the Tuesday, the 20th, if that works.
That works for me. Afternoon, Bruce?
Sure.
Same thing.
That works for you, too? How about you, Randy? Does it work for you? Okay.
Yes.
For me, too. So let's go with March 20th. Let me ask committee members, do you want to start in the morning and go through lunch? Do you want to start right after lunch? What's your preference?
I like starting at 1, and we'll just go.
So just for the record then, what we normally go 1 to 4. Would you recommend, just to block this out, 1 to 6?
Yes, I can't see us going that long by any means without having dinner delivered. But, but if you block it out and we have it, then we won't need it.
Okay. So Tuesday, March 20th from 1 to 6 here in the Sierra Room. And then looking at the next meeting we had scheduled last year was mid-June. I don't know if Tuesdays work, but if we kept the same idea, June 19th, which is a Tuesday afternoon, the calendar is open.
Committee, what topics do you think you want to be discussing in June besides an update on the budget? Because usually there's a few changes in the budget from the time that we look at it in March, and then some changes follow. And so that's one of the things we usually look at in June. Any other topics that you want to be discussing in June? So I have some idea of how long a meeting to schedule.
Nothing for me other than that comes to mind other than the follow-up on the budget. And I wouldn't anticipate that would be nearly as long as the March meeting.
What about capital projects and the projects list? Are we going to get that as a budget, or would that be needing an update in June? I'm just trying to figure.
We would be doing the request for the next fiscal year that starts July 1 in March. So if there's other information, I mean, we wouldn't have a budget update for that year, but we could have a budget update for the current fiscal year for capital projects.
Madam Chair, one of the problems with June is we're trying to wrap up a fiscal year, but we're not there. So we don't even have a budget to actual for. Should we maybe wait until August when they've had a better chance to close their books if you want to look at budget, or we have to do, say, June and September again, I guess. But that's the – because they're the only – in fact, if we have June 20th, usually your books are only up to, like, the first week of June. So we still have a full month, and if you want to go back and look at the budget we approved prior year, we're still not completed from a fiscal standpoint anyway.
Committee, how do you feel about that?
I agree with Mike. Let's set the meeting so it's more meaningful.
Everybody agree with that? Yeah. So let's, can we look at July? That's what you said August, right, Mike?
Right, August.
Okay, can we look at August?
Wouldn't August give you more time to close out? Because you're still going to have payables and receivables in June or July coming in. And closing entries.
So, yeah, I mean, we'll have a lot more accurate information if we are looking in August. I don't think it would be – I mean, there's still outstanding activities that happen. I mean, the books don't close out until September. So we'll have a more accurate record, but it still won't be complete.
But, well, most of your closing entries after August 31st, that's being done by the controller, more for CAFR than anything.
Okay, so looking at August then, if we did the same concept and said, okay, Tuesday, August 21st, that's open. So then Tuesday, August 21st. And then would it be from same concept, 1 to 4, here in the Sierra Room?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I was just trying to figure if we needed that much time or not. So, Mike?
I don't know if we need that much time. The only meeting that really drags us down is the budget meeting.
Let me ask you this, Darren or Dave, whoever can best answer. When is that RFP on the rate study going to be issued? Is that coming up this year or is that coming up next year?
It will be the RFP will go out this year, this calendar year. Yes, 2018 calendar year, but nothing. We won't have any work done until well into.
Although we would have no say in it, could the RFP come to our committee just so we could look at it? And
the RFP or the response to the RFP?
The RFP itself. I mean, it should be public information anyway.
Yeah, we could bring it here just for information or what
right,
were you
right, because I know that some of us have discussed the rates off and on and so forth and might be interested in just seeing what the RFP says.
Okay, so we could bring that forward when we have it. Yeah.
So that might be something we could also include in the August meeting. So, okay, let's make it 1 to 3:30.
Okay, so I have August 21st from 1 to 3:30 here in the Sierra Room, and the items that you would like to see for that would be the capital, the update, just a capital planning update, a budget update, right? Budget update. Budget update for the current fiscal year. And then the outline, the scope, Darren, looking for the scope for the RFP.
So, Madam Chair, and also David, just for the record, I don't mean to interject here, but just for us to be extra careful that what we're talking about here for this agenda item is we're just talking about the dates and the locations and the timing of the future meetings. We're not necessarily locking ourselves in, and certainly we're not taking action with respect to the specific agenda items that are going to be heard or must be heard. I mean, I know we can talk about it loosely in terms of actually trying to figure out how much time needs to be allocated for those dates and locations, but I just want us to be, you know, cognizant of that that's not under this agenda item.
We do have future agenda items on the agenda. I mean, so, you know, we're just combining the two more or less. And since we have to plan so far ahead, we need to have some idea of what's going to be discussed to know how long to meet.
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Like I said, I think just for general discussion points to try to figure out the timing, that's fine. But we just can't really lock ourselves in under this agenda item.
Thank you. And, of course, we're all aware that at various times the Board of Supervisors asks us to meet on something that may or may not come up. But, you know, but occasionally we get asked to do these special little functions for which we also have to plan a meeting. So anyway, okay.
Okay, and then looking at, so we do March, August, and then in the past, obviously, we have done September. But if we're going to push that August, then we'd be looking at like a November, probably a November date or an early December date. A lot of, you know, December is always hard, is a month for most. So looking at November, again, picking that Tuesday, looking at the third week, that's, you know, this room's pretty booked up except like that Tuesday. So it'd be November 20th, Tuesday, November 20th.
That's not Thanksgiving week.
Thank you. That didn't show up on here. So then looking in general.
What about the week after Thanksgiving? Is that still early in December or late November?
Yeah. So November, the week after that, like there would be a Monday. The room's available all day on Monday the 26th. That Tuesday, which is the 27th, Tuesday the 27th could work also. There's a meeting in here at 6 p.m., but if we wanted to stick to the, like, 1 to 3 o'clock time slot.
So is Monday the 26th the Monday following Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Which
yes.
means there could be people just getting back from yep. holidays. So I would suggest we move to a different day or a different week.
I think he was suggesting to 27th, the Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
Following Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Tuesday, I think, would be better.
Okay, so Tuesday, yes, this room would be available. And we could do the 1 to 3 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay, so Tuesday the 27th of November.
Okay, everybody happy with that? Are there any comments or?
Can't be planning my Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, we have our priorities. So, you know, I understand how that is. Okay, is there any public comment on anything that we've discussed today? That was labeled as public hearings. So, guess not. So, I have one announcement I'd like to make. I meant to bring copies of the story for everybody, and then I forgot. I got busy with clients who think because they pay me, they should have my time. But tomorrow is Water Summit to cover Carson River Watershed. I don't know, is everybody here aware of that, that that's happening tomorrow? And I have information here if somebody wants to look at this and so forth, help yourself. So take a look at it. Just wanted to be sure that you did know about it in case you're interested. So there being no other business before this committee, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.